Luke chapter 21 and verse number, well, this whole chapter really is talking about the end times. I don't know about you, but I can see that we're in the end times.
That's right. These are not
these are not the days we used to be in. Things have changed a bit. And so he's talking about all the end times here, and I want to read just a couple of verses. He talks about the signs that would arise. You know, many times people read these things. It talks about in verse 25, there's signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and distress of nations with perplexity. One translation says lacking in resources. You know, you can see some of that. I mean, some nations are just hanging by a thread. They got so much debt. And so he said, distress of nations with perplexity, not knowing what to do because of a lack of resources. And the sea and the waves roaring. Those are upheavals in nature. And then he said this, men's hearts in the last days will fail them for fear.
Right.
Notice because of this, because they're looking after those things which are coming on the earth, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And so he goes on and talks about the Son of Man coming. And he said in verse number 28, then he said, when these things begin to come to pass, well, we've seen them to begin to come to pass. Then he said, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. So these are, we use this as our text from last evening, and we want to use it again. I want you to see something here. You know, that it's basically telling us that right up here against the edge of the tribulation, which is the last 7 years of the church age, in which the church is out of here and many, many things happening, right up here against the edge of the tribulation, he said the devil's going to be real active. He mentions these distress of nations and upheavals in nature and all sorts of signs and changes. And, you know, in other places, it talks about earthquakes and famines and pestilence and diseases. And I mean, we've even begun to see that now. And so he's basically saying the devil is going to be real active. But the thing Jesus points out was, and he said men's hearts would fail them because of it. But he said not just because of it, but because they're looking after those things, or they're paying attention, or their minds are on those things that Satan's doing. Now, you read these verses and you think that's the only thing that's going to be happening in the last days. But while the devil's quite active, God is very active.
Amen.
The Bible makes that clear. That's the last great outpouring of the Spirit, the harvest of the souls of the earth, the signs and wonders and miracles. He talks about the latter rain. He talks about all these things that God will be doing. So, you know, people, sometimes I hear end time preachers talking about all these signs and upheavals in nature and so forth, and all that the devil's going to be doing. I want to holler sometimes and say, hey, God's got something he's doing in the last days too.
That's right. Amen.
And people's attention needs to be on that, especially the body of Christ.
Amen.
So, but he said there will be those that their attention will be after, or looking after, or their attention will be on those things the devil is doing. And he said, because of it, their hearts, the way Jesus stated it, will fail them for fear. And we looked yesterday at the book of 1 Samuel 17, where David said, let not your heart fail for fear of Goliath. He wasn't talking about the blood pump not pumping anymore. He's talking about people's faith withering, their spirit beings, their spirit man, growing weary, you know. The Bible talks about in 2 Corinthians, if you want to go there, we want to just look at some verses here this morning, this evening, wherever you are, depending on where you are, determines what time it is. But 2 Corinthians chapter number 4, let's read verses 16, 17, and 18. For which cause we faint not. Paul said, there's a reason we don't faint. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Yes, though the light affliction, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen. Amen. Now, you don't have to be in the end times, although we are in the end times, but you don't have to be in the end times to practice this verse. You know, this verse is just supposed to be the way we live. I remember the Bible said in chapter number 5, verse number 7, just down here a few verses later. Let's see here. I guess it's where he said, we walk by faith and not by sight. Walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 7. In other words, when we walk by faith, we don't look at things seen. Like he said here, he said that, we in chapter number 4, verse 18, we look not at the things which are seen. Mm-hmm. But we do look at something. We look at the things which are not seen. Well, somebody said, how on earth can you look at things not seen? Well, not with physical eyes. You look at it with the eyes of your spirit.
Amen.
You look at it with the eyes of your heart.
Amen.
We look. What do we look at? The things that are not seen. Things which are seen are temporal. Things which are not seen are eternal. So faith keeps its attention on the eternal truths, the unchanging truth of God's word. Yes. Faith just keeps on looking at that in spite of what's going on all around it.
Amen.
And I want to put verses, this is 2 Corinthians 4, I want to put verses 16 and 18 together here and look at this.
Mm-hmm.
For the which cause, just that first statement, mm-hmm. for the which cause we faint not.
Mm-hmm.
And then verse 18, while we look not. Mm-hmm. at the things which are seen. So we faint not because we look not.
Look not. That's right. Amen. Amen.
There's been a lot of things in my life. People said, how on earth did you get through that? And I said, I just didn't look.
Amen.
I just didn't look. I kept looking at God's word. I kept looking at the promises of God. I kept my attention. That's what we mean when we say look. I kept my attention on God's word.
Amen.
You see, faith has expression. Faith's got to express itself.
That's right.
And there's more than just a few expressions of faith. One expression of faith is what you say.
That's right.
And, you know, it's important what you say. Praise is an expression of faith. But here he's saying, here's another expression of faith.
Yes.
Faith expresses itself by what it holds its attention on.
That's right.
It keeps its attention on God's word. Now, when we say attention, what are we saying? Remember Proverbs 4. Verses 20 through 24 down verse 23. He said, my son, attend to my word. Attend to my word.
Right.
So what does he mean? Put your attention on my word. What is your attention?
Right.
That's your mind. That's your thought life.
Amen.
And we're going to hone in on this today because I have this so big in my heart. I was as a teenager, whenever I was out in the world before I came to God, I was bound by satanic oppression in my mind, and I was tormented, harassed, vexed, whatever word you want to say, and actually to the point that I had, it just seemed like a constant headache, like somebody had an iron band around my head and somebody kept screwing it tighter, just a constant headache. And, but I come to find out once I started getting my mind renewed with the word, I found out that it wasn't physical thing. It was a mental oppression.
Yes, sir.
A torment in my mind. And listen, somebody said, oh, that's the devil. He's so big and bad and mean. Well, he can't do much unless we give place to it.
That's right.
And the Lord started dealing with me how I had given place to him. Mm-hmm. And that was through the things I had been attending to.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, remember, the Bible says over there, and what is it, 2 Peter, chapter number 3, if I remember right, talks about Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he was vexed. He was a righteous man, but he was vexed night and day because of seeing and hearing their unlawful deads there in Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, it says that he wasn't doing them. He was he was a righteous man, but he was constantly paying attention to it and looking at seeing it and hearing it.
Right.
In other words, he's practicing Proverbs 4, verse 20 and 21, but he's doing it on the wrong things.
That's right.
God said, my son, attend to my words.
My word. Yeah.
Attend to my words.
Yeah.
Lot was attending to something that vexed him. God said, attend to my word. And in the New Testament, it says, when we do that, it'll be peace to us.
That's right.
I don't know if you've ever read, Philippians 4, verses 6 through 8. He said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made unto known. And the peace of God, notice that, thank God for the peace of God.
Hallelujah.
The peace of God that passeth all understanding.
Yes, sir.
All understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Then he said this, whatsoever things, that's verse number 7. Then verse 8, whatsoever things are true, mm-hmm. whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever right. things are just, and so forth right. and so on. Then he said, think on these Amen. Things.
Amen.
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 And he said, my son, attend to my word, incline thine ear and my saying, so forth. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of your heart. So these things are to be attended to, and we're to think on these things.
Yes.
And as we do, let's just say Philippians 4:7 there said, and the peace of God passes all understanding, keep your heart and mind. When you pray, you cast your care over on the Lord and you thank God for the victory. And then he said, that peace will come and it'll pass all understanding and rule in your heart and your mind. And then he said this, this is so important. He said, whatever things are true, so forth and so on, think on these things. So to get verse 7 in Philippians mm-hmm. 4, you got to do mm-hmm. verse 6.
That's right.
Pray and believe God, get into faith and get into right. praise and thanksgiving. There he said, mm-hmm. pray and supplication with thanksgiving. And right. then to keep verse 7, which is the peace of God, mm-hmm. he said, you and I have to guard our thought life.
Yes, sir.
Guard our attention. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people think they need the devil cast out of them or somebody to pray for them whenever actually it's just the anxieties of life.
That's right.
And the cares of life mm-hmm. and their attention on their problem. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
And they're not, their mind is not on the right things. Their mind is thinking on what the devil's saying.
Right.
Because the devil will talk to you and circumstances will talk to you.
That's right.
And Jesus said, and whenever he gave us in Matthew 6, I'm going through some things kind of fast here, but just kind of circling the airport.
Sure.
Before we land here, Jesus said that whenever we, in Matthew 6, I'm talking about, he said, take no thought saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? So forth and so on. Taking thought means don't take worried thoughts from the problem. Mm-hmm. Don't take worried thoughts from what you see.
Right.
Don't take worried thoughts from the enemy telling you you're going to go under, so forth and so on. Well, what do you mean don't take thoughts? I just thought, you know, if a thought comes to me, that's my thought. No, it's not your thought. You can reject thoughts. You can right. decide. You can choose your thoughts.
Right.
You can choose what you're thinking on. Mm-hmm. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Amen. You can choose what you're thinking on. And what you
right.
think on is going to determine whether you're in peace or whether you're in vexation, worry, right. anxiety, heavy-hearted, yeah. so forth and so on. And
right.
I'll tell you, I meet way too many Christians that yeah. because the joy of the Lord's on the inside of them, the fruit of the Spirit's joy, but it, and it's
right.
in there, but they're not tapping into it because their attention's on something else. Their attention,
that's
they
right.
took thought from the enemy. They took mm-hmm. thought from their need. They took
yeah.
thought from the circumstances. Their
yeah.
thoughts aren't on what God said.
Yes, sir.
And so if we want to walk in peace, we've got to keep our mind stayed on the Lord. So Job, he kept his mind on all the sin and stuff that was all around him. I'll tell you,
right.
just be honest with you, you don't need as much news as you're watching.
Amen.
Oh, I just said something by the Holy Ghost.
Come on,
somebody
Come
just
on,
ducked because they got hit. I said,
Come
you
on.
Don't need as much news as you're watching. God
Amen.
Dealt with me about that. That's
yes,
just
sir.
The devil's mouthpiece a lot of times.
That's
just
right.
telling everybody what the devil's doing.
Yep.
Anyhow, now that everybody's glad Pastor Jay showed up, amen. So
amen.
It's important what our attention is on.
Yes,
I'll tell
sir.
You, we win this thing. The devil's
amen.
Huffing and puffing, but we win this thing.
That's right. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Read the end of the book. We win. Amen.
We win. Hallelujah.
So, but amen. I want you to see back here again, Luke 21, 26.
Mm-hmm.
He's basically saying, these, when people are looking at all these things, mm-hmm. their heart will fail them for fear.
That's
now,
right.
go over to Matthew 6. I was going to kind of skip over something, but I was just quoting it, but it'd be good for us to go there.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 6. Look at verse 28. If you went through this passage, you might want to mark some verses here. Let's go back before we get to verse 28. Go back to verse 25. Matthew 8:25, Jesus said, take no thought for your life.
Yeah.
He's talking about worried thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Then verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit to his stature?
Mm-hmm.
Verse 28, and why take ye thought?
Mm-hmm.
See, he's talking about thoughts coming to us and us choosing to think them after the thought that came to us from the enemy. He's talking about not thinking those thoughts after the enemy. See, thoughts mm-hmm. will come to all of us.
That's right.
All of us. But it's what we do with those thoughts that determines whether we're going to be anxious or not. Amen. We're going to have peace or not, or we're going to be in fear or not.
That's right.
There he said, verse 28, take no thought. Mm-hmm. Or why take ye thought? So mm-hmm. verse 31, take no thought mm-hmm. saying. Oh, right. That's why people say what they say. They took right. the thoughts that they took.
Mm-hmm.
Take no thought saying. People mm-hmm. say, I don't know what we're going to do. Looks like we're going to go under. Where'd that thought come from?
All right.
Didn't come from Philippians 4:19. My God shall mm-hmm. supply all my need according to his mm-hmm. riches in glory.
Right.
Amen. See, here's where Amen. The spiritual battle really is. There's not yes, a big sir. Battle up in the heavenlies as much as there's a battle between the ears. Which That's thoughts right. are we going to take and which ones are we going to repeat and say?
Amen.
Therefore, Amen. Take verse 31, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewithal shall we be clothed? After mm-hmm. all these things the Gentiles seek, your heavenly Father mm-hmm. knows you have need of all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God mm-hmm. And so forth and so on. Now, I want you to notice here, he said in verse 28, why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field. They toil not, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say that even Solomon, all his glory, is not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now notice that. Yeah. Why yeah. take ye thought for all your needs, worried and anxious about it? Mm-hmm. Look how God takes care of the grass of the field. Makes them pretty mm-hmm. and puts a pretty flower on it. I mean, mm-hmm. if he'll put a pretty flower on a blade of grass, he'll put pretty clothes on you.
That's
he'll
right.
take care of you. That's what
Absolutely.
He said. And even Solomon wasn't even clothed like the grass of the field. Solomon was the richest man in Israel. Then mm-hmm. he said in verse 30, then by taking all this thought, he said, we become, notice here, of little faith.
Yeah.
Of little faith. Uh-huh. So here's what we see. Taking yeah. thoughts from the enemy reduces mm-hmm. our faith down the little.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm
Amen.
Telling you what, that's a revelation right there.
That's right there. Amen.
People are struggling in faith. They think they're having faith problems when actually it's an attention problem.
That's it. That's it.
Their attention
yeah.
is on all the screaming voices of their need.
That's right.
The screaming voices, the hollering voices in their ear of the devil, yakety yak yak.
Yeah,
you know
yeah.
you can shut him up. God's plan Absolutely. For your life is not that you go through life harassed by the enemy and by what he's saying. You,
That's
God's
right.
got a plan for you to have a different kind of life than that.
Absolutely.
You don't have to listen to that voice, those voices Amen. Of care and anxiety. You can answer Amen. Them and you can refuse to take them.
That's right.
You can
That's
choose right. your thoughts. This is Absolutely. Your mind. You can think Amen. What you choose to think.
Amen.
Remember Colossians Amen. 1? No, excuse me. Mm-hmm. Colossians 3, verse 1. Three, verse number 1, I believe. Mm-hmm. He talks about it there. He said, set your, King James says, set your affection on things above. Yes. Other translations say, set your attention. No, yes. In other words, it's your attention. You can choose where to set it.
Right.
I remember Amen. A lady in healing school, Pastor Ike, that she came, when we were there in Kenneth Hagin Ministries Healing School, people came for physical healing. And they also came for mental oppression and torment. And, yeah. you know, Jesus in his day, whenever he ministered, when he's walking the earth, he ministered to both of them. Bible said he ministered to the sick and he also ministered to the vexed and the tormented and those that were vexed with unclean spirits and they were healed. He said all of them got delivered. And so what we see is that these things are for us as well. To be delivered from not only our physical ailments, but the mental torments.
That's right.
The chastisement, Pastor Ike, of our peace was upon Jesus.
Him. Hallelujah. Amen.
Ooh, glory to
glory
God.
Glory to God. Amen.
I don't have to, if Jesus took it for me, I don't have to
you
take
have
it.
To
I don't have to live
right.
with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can live free from, I grew up with that stuff. I get stirred up about this. I've yeah. been vexed and I've been free and free is better.
Yeah. Amen.
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 I believe one of the issues is that many people don't understand the workings of the kingdom of God. Like you're saying, what we think on connects us to whatever it is.
Exactly.
I believe really that faith, the process of faith is the process of becoming.
Yeah.
What God yes. already designed for us is set. He has a yes. wonderful life set for us. Otherwise, why are we saved? We're saved yeah. because he has a wonderful life available for us. And faith connects us to that life.
Yes.
That's why he said, do not worry about what you eat. Do not worry about what you're going to drink. For yeah. your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things.
Yes.
Meaning, if he knows we have need of these things, he has provisions for them.
Yeah.
But he says for us to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Yeah. His righteousness meaning the way he operates, the way the kingdom works. And the way kingdom works is through faith. Faith is the process of becoming. But yes. you can become without your attention on right. that very thing that he's made available.
Exactly.
So because people don't know this, they think, oh, by attending to the chaos in the world, what are we going to do? Oh, the news says this or that says that. By attending to that, they are actually encountering the process of becoming. But in this case, is the fear part of it, which is becoming what the devil set up for them.
Yes, yes. Well, that's exactly what Romans 4, remember Jesus, the Bible talks about in Romans 4, Abraham's faith.
Yes, sir.
Let's mm-hmm. go over there, Pastor Ike. You open that up. Let's just look at that.
Yes,
in Romans 4, mm-hmm. if you're a minister and you never preach faith, haven't even hardly started preaching yet.
No, sir.
Amen. I mean, faith is it. Faith
yes,
is
sir.
It. You
yes,
teach
sir.
Your people how to walk by faith, and you teach them to live in victory. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even
yes,
our
sir.
Faith. But yes, notice sir. Here what it says in Romans 4, talking about Abraham's faith.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible talks about in verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee, talking to Abraham, I have made thee a father of many nations. Now, I have made, that's what okay. you're talking about. God said,
that's
I have right. made you.
I have made thee.
I yes. have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickens the dead, calls those things that be not as though they are,
mm-hmm.
who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations.
Yes, sir.
So God, notice if you got your Bible there, underline, mm-hmm. I have made thee.
I have made thee.
And then
thee,
in yeah. verse number 18, mm-hmm. that he might become.
That's right.
That he might become.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
That he might become.
Amen.
So God made him something, but
right.
he had to cooperate that with that in order to mm-hmm. become what God had already made him.
That's right.
Now, look at verse number, that's verse 18. Being not, let's go back to verse 18, who against uh-huh. hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Being not mm-hmm. weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Look at that.
All right.
Here's
All
how
right.
he became. He
That's
by
right.
not considering his own body.
Amen. Amen.
In other words, we're talking about keeping our attention on the word, keeping our
yes,
attention
sir.
On what God said, who we
yes,
are,
sir.
What we have, what we can
yes,
do.
Sir. Yes,
Keep
sir.
Our attention on that.
Yeah.
So we know what to put our attention on because of those verses. These verses tell us what not to put our attention on.
Right.
He said that Abraham, being not weak in faith, considered not. So there's mm-hmm. some things you've got to consider not in order to put your attention on some things that God said, what God said, and which brings you into becoming who God said you are. In
Amen.
Other words, it becomes your experience.
That's right.
It's not
That's
just
right.
yours legally, because all these right. things are already yours and mine legally.
That's right.
But it becomes ours experientially.
That's
right. what we're interested in. And the way
Amen.
To do that, the way to become who God said we legally already are,
right.
is by faith.
Yes.
And faith considers not.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's it. Amen.
Being not weak in faith, he considered not, verse number 19 says. What did he not consider? His own body and
That's
Sarah's
right.
body. Neither
mm-hmm.
yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He didn't
yes.
stagger at the promise of God, but was strong mm-hmm. in faith, giving glory to God. So he
That's
didn't
right.
stagger because he didn't consider.
That's right.
His body and Sarah's body, Pastor Ike, said that was never going to come to pass.
That's right. That's
you remember
right.
they're old. They're, what is he,
That's right.
99 when they had the baby?
Mm-hmm.
Or 100, and Sarah's 90,
mm-hmm.
and besides, that's past the age of childbearing. Plus,
right.
in her younger years, she wasn't able to conceive anyway.
That's right.
So it was impossible, and God said it was going to happen. And
that's
so
right.
Abraham said, well, then I'm going to have to not consider the fact our bodies are old.
Amen.
And he kept, notice it said, he staggered not at the promise of God. He kept his mind and his attention on what
Amen.
God had said. He kept looking at that, and he rejected everything his body was telling him. And I
Amen.
Bet you, Pastor Ike, that his body was screaming at him.
Oh,
the
yeah.
circumstances
oh, yeah.
said, you dummy, it's never going to come to pass.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Same thing he's telling so many people in Nigeria today. Oh,
yeah.
look at the condition of the economy. Look at this. Look at what's happening. And he's trying to get you to base your experience based on what's happening around you. But God has already made you something. God has already prepared your life for you. It just requires that you not attend to what you see in order to become what you don't see.
Yes.
So to become what you don't see, you have to learn to attend to what you don't see.
Yes.
And he gives us the word.
Yeah.
To be able to attend to that word.
Well, think about the eighth chapter of Romans, Pastor Ike, here. This is something that the Lord shared with me back when he was teaching me. I was talking about the vexation I had. You can turn to the eighth chapter while I'm talking here. I never had anybody lay hands on me and bind the devil that was tormenting my mind. Nobody ever said, Satan, you take your hands off him. Nothing. The Lord started teaching me to control my thought life.
Amen.
See, if somebody would have taken authority over it and dealt with that thing, even if it had left, I still had the door open for that thing to come back.
Because
I wasn't controlling my thought life.
Yes, sir.
And
yes,
so God
sir.
Just started teaching me, and this is one of the verses I'm going to look at here in a minute. He just kept teaching me that how to close the door to that torment.
Yes,
and he started talking to me about my thought life and what I was thinking about. Mm-hmm. And this is one verse, Romans 8. He told me, go over here. He said, though we, verse number 5, though we are after the flesh, for they that are after the flesh do mind.
Yes, sir.
That means they put their minds on.
Yes, sir.
Their attention is on.
Yeah.
They mind the things of the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could say this. That's what the 5 physical senses are telling you.
That's right.
Abraham's 5 physical senses said, there's no way this is coming to pass. God said, there is no way. Mm-hmm. But see, he didn't keep his mind on that.
Right.
They that are after the flesh. See, that's why people are in the flesh, is because their mind is on the wrong things.
Amen. Amen.
They that are after the flesh, they keep minding the things of the flesh. They that are after the spirit.
Yeah.
They that are after the spirit, you could add, they mind the things of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
Well, what is of the spirit? The word of God is of the spirit. What God is of the spirit.
Yes, sir.
They keep their mind on what God said. Mm-hmm. And then notice verse 6. This is how the Lord helped me. For to be carnally minded, in other words, to keep our mind, the word carnal and the word flesh are the same thing in the Bible, to be minded of fleshly things, to be carnally minded or fleshly minded, notice, is death.
Death, that's right.
Amen, is Amen. Death. But to be spiritually minded is life, and notice this word, peace.
Peace, hallelujah.
There's how you get peace.
Amen.
You remember John 14:30, verse 27. John 14, 27, he said, Jesus said, peace I leave with you.
With you.
Ooh. Right. Somebody Glory said, oh, Jesus God. Was just here. Listen, he left you some things.
Amen. Amen.
Peace I leave with you. My own That's peace right. I now give Amen. And bequeath to you.
Amen.
Amplified says, give and bequeath to you. Then That's he said right. this, let not your heart be troubled.
That's right.
See, he's basically saying, now you have peace. Now here's how you become peaceful.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
Amen.
Praise God.
See,
Amen.
What does he mean? Let not your heart be troubled. If you're going to not let your heart be troubled, in other words, if our heart is troubled, if our mind is troubled, then it's because we're letting it.
We're letting it.
How are we letting it? Because Amen. Our minds are on the wrong things.
Amen.
Our
Amen.
Minds are on the flesh. Or our minds are on what the circumstances are telling us. Yeah. Like Abraham's body was talking to him. He decided, I can't think about what my body's telling me. I can't put my attention on that.
No.
And that's how we enter into peace, is we turn our attention away. When he said, let not your heart be troubled, you got to see, that's responsibility on us.
Amen.
People say, oh, I wish God would give me some peace.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's what we wish. We wish you would not let your heart be troubled.
Amen.
It's not
Amen.
God needs to do something. It's you need to do something.
That's
Get
right.
a hold of your thought life. Listen, Amen. You'll never amount to anything for God until you control your thought life. And your
Amen.
Faith will never be worth a dime in the kingdom of God until you control your thought life.
Amen. That's
and I'm
right.
preaching by the Holy Ghost. There's some folks that are tormented and vexed and anxious and worried and looking at the troubles of the church and looking at what people are saying. And they're all stirred up and worked up and unsettled. Can't sleep at night. I'm talking to somebody.
Yes, sir.
And it's for one reason. No, don't give the devil all the credit. He has a lot of help from you.
Yeah.
And you need to stop giving your mind over to him and thinking his thoughts after him. Sure, the thoughts come. Sure, yes. The mind is the thoughts are bombarding your thought life, but choose to set your attention.
Hallelujah.
You can choose.
Amen.
You can choose. Amen. To set your attention on things above.
Yes, sir.
Just Amen. Like he said here, to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Praise God.
Here's how you enter into peace. Now, the way the Lord said this, he said, you said something a minute ago, Pastor Ike, why I went to this verse. Mm-hmm. When I was learning how to control my thought life and get out of that vexation, the Lord showed me this verse, and he basically showed it to me this way, exactly how Pastor Ike said it a minute ago, to be carnally minded is death. In other words, it connects you to the realm of spiritual death.
Yes,
doesn't mean you're not
yes.
born again. I mean the realm of darkness where Satan harasses and torments and confuses and all of that.
That's right.
But he said to be spiritually minded is peace, life and peace. In other Hallelujah. Words, that's how you connect to Amen. Life and peace.
Amen.
See, you got to make a connection with what belongs to you.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Many of the people have not been taught that even though we're delivered, we're redeemed, God has placed the responsibility yes. of enjoying those things he provided on the believer.
Yes, he has.
That's where faith comes in. Unfortunately, many of the people are just geared towards praying. If you have this, pray. If you have this, pray. Yep. But without proper knowledge of God's word, prayer will not be effective. Your prayer won't work if your mind is full of worries. Your prayer won't work if your mind is full of all that the devil is doing. The churches we have today, Dad, it's mainly like, oh, come, let me pray for you. People go to collect prayers when we should teach them the importance of training their thinking to match the word of God, for them to see the responsibility of renewing right. their mind to right. think like the word, because until they do, they wouldn't become.
Yes, exactly. And this is a Christian discipline that believers yes. must practice.
Amen.
The devil can only contact a believer because he doesn't live inside the believer.
That's
We're the temple of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Amen.
I mean, God took over our spirit when we were born again.
Yes, sir.
That's not the devil's property. He can't contact
sir.
You in your spirit.
But That's
right. he's outside of our being. He's called mm-hmm. the prince of the power of the air. He's out here.
Yes, sir.
And out here, he'll try to contact us from the outside mm-hmm. of our being. And mm-hmm. the way he does it is either through the flesh or through mm-hmm. the mind.
That's right.
That's the only way he can contact us or harass us or do his thing. So what we do with our flesh or our mind determines whether we have the peace of God or whether we become who God said we are.
That's right.
And really, to be honest, it's whether we're going to be in faith or not.
That's right. That's right.
Now,
That's right.
Back here in Romans, mm-hmm. Romans chapter number 4, the Lord said mm-hmm. this to me, based this on verse number 19 one time. He spoke this to me. It says about sir. Abraham's faith, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, let's put it, it says being not weak, so let's flip that. Because he was strong in faith, he didn't
right.
consider.
Right.
And the Lord said to me this one time, he said, weak faith considers the circumstances.
Amen. That's right. Amen.
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 In other words, weak, let's flip it on the other side. Strong faith has a hold of your thought life.
That's right.
It will not let your thoughts go there.
That's right.
That's what right. strong faith does. See, in other words, it's an expression of our faith to control our thought life.
Yes, sir.
And it is our thought.
Amen.
I mean, our thought life. It is our mm-hmm. thought. We can choose
yes.
what we think on.
Yes.
Our
Amen.
Minds, Pastor Ike, are not the devil's workshop.
That's right. No, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
There is a battle on for our minds.
Yes.
People talk about some war up in the heavens. No, the battle, Paul said very clearly in 2 Corinthians, chapter number 10, verses 4, yes. 5, and down and through there. The weapons yes. of our warfare are not carnal, they're mighty through God to the pulling down of number one, strongholds. People think that's
yes.
right, they're up there in heaven. Now, wait a minute, keep on reading. Casting mm-hmm. down number two, imaginations. And bringing into captivity every
thought,
mm-hmm. thought. So we got strongholds,
Amen.
Imaginations, and thoughts.
Yes.
Thoughts that are uncontrolled open the door for imaginations, and imaginations
right.
that are uncontrolled opens the door for strongholds.
Stronghold.
But those
That's
are
right.
all, I'm talking about strongholds between between the ears.
Yes.
Amen. He's not talking about strongholds up in the heavens. He's talking about thoughts and imagination. Imaginations is something one does in the mind. And a thought is something somebody does in the mind. So is a stronghold.
Yeah. Yes.
And Satan's on. The war is on for people's attention.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And so the battle is for our minds. And that's where the war is in the believer's life.
Mm-hmm.
Satan already lost our spirits.
Mm-hmm.
But listen, he's not playing games. He wants to take as much ground, even in believers' lives, if they'll let him.
Yeah.
A believer can be, you know, a person can be born again and thoroughly saved, but tormented and vexed in their mind. See, we're three-part beings, spirits, soul, and body. Our, our soul includes our mind, will, and emotions.
Yes.
And Jesus is Lord of our spirits, but Satan wants to take as much ground as possible in our lives.
Yes.
And, like, for example, I remember, but let me back up and say, and one way we can keep him from doing that is we control our thought life.
That's it.
We control our thought life because our mind is not the devil's workshop.
That's right.
Amen. But Satan's not playing games. I remember a lady came to healing school one time because, like I said, I began to talk about this a minute ago. but she came to healing school because she was extremely vexed. When I say vexed, I'm talking about emotionally and mentally. And I'll never forget the first time I saw her, I greeted her. And whenever I greeted her, I just sort of greeted her and sort of backed up. She was so vexed, looking in her eyes, it looked like she could just haul off and hit you. She was tormented. She looked mad and mean. And I thought, well, you know, she's in the right place.
Yeah.
And we began to minister. And she was there for weeks. And I'll never forget one time. There were times where her mind was so gone that she really didn't know who she was or where she was, what her name was, or anything. And somebody said, somebody needs to cast the devil out of her. We said, no, no, we can cast that out, but it'll come right back.
That's right.
It'll come right back.
Mm-hmm.
So what we need to do is teach her how, because she, now listen, remember yesterday we said, neither give place to the devil.
Yes, sir.
How can Satan get to a believer to the place where they're almost their mind is almost gone, or their mind is gone?
Mm-hmm.
Only one way. Somebody gave that believer gave him place.
That's right.
Only one way. Satan can't just steamroll over a believer. Believers have authority.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's right.
We can take authority over Satan, but you can't take authority over Satan with your words and then not control your mind.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
But because you gotta control your thought life. He gets thoughts of fear, thoughts of anxiety, thoughts of offense, thoughts of whatever into your thought life, and he'll start working those and working those and working those, and he'll torment you out of your mind.
That's right.
And that lady had yielded to that. So one day she was there and she was out of her head. She didn't know where she was, she didn't know who she was. And one of the ministers there sat her down and said, look at me right in the eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, where am I? And he said, what's your name? He wasn't talking to the devil. He's talking to the lady, not talking to the devil.
Right.
People say, oh, he's calling the devil's, looking for the devil's name. That's not what he was talking
about. No.
What, he was talking to the lady. What is your name? What is your name? She wasn't sure. What is your name? Get a hold of your thought life. What's your name?
Mm-hmm.
And eventually she gave her name. As soon as she said what her name was, he said, now, where do you live? What's your physical address? And she started giving her physical address, and she started getting a hold of her mind, and eventually she came back.
Yeah.
Her mind came back.
Yes,
and she's functioning normal and in her mind. And he said, he said to this lady, he said, now, the reason you were at that place is you had given place to your thought life to the point to where Satan was taking over your thought life, and you didn't even hardly know who you were. But notice how you got it back. You got a hold of your thoughts. You got a hold of your thoughts.
That's
now,
right.
Repeat after me. I have the mind of Christ. And he started taking her into the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Praise God.
And that lady was totally set free. I remember walking in one day in healing school back. This was after a couple of weeks. I had been out of town preaching. I came back in town and I was doing a PM, a Friday PM healing school service. And I walked in and I scanned the crowd just to see if I, you know, see who was there. And I'll never forget it. I scanned the crowd and I saw her, but I didn't recognize her. I saw her and I thought, oh, she's a visitor. I never met her before. And I said, wait a minute. And I looked at her again. I said, that's that lady. That's that lady. Because she had before, she was all ragged. Her clothes were all messed up. She looked like, you know, she's just sloppy and dirty. Her hair's every which way. And she's not clean. She's tormented. But boy, that day she was cleaned up. She had everything decked. She looked nice. Her hair was combed. Her facial expressions were full of joy. And she was complete. I didn't even recognize her, Pastor Ike. Because that torment was gone.
Praise
somebody said,
God.
Why? Did somebody cast the devil out? Nope. We just taught her to control her thought life.
Amen.
And she had peace. Not only peace in her heart, because anybody born again has peace with God in their heart, but she had peace in her mind. Glory
Hallelujah.
Be to God.
Amen.
It's your attention. You can put it where you choose.
Yes, yes, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
It's not Satan's captive. Your attention is not Satan's captive.
No, sir.
Amen.
No, sir.
Too many times people's attention's like it's like their attention is the devil's dog on the end of his leash.
Right.
You know, they just he just controls them, pulls on them and pulls them over to their attention over here, pulls their attention over here. And because they're not controlling their thought life, their mind, and the devil will stir up circumstances, and he does that to grab their attention.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
Amen. So this lady that you were talking about, that if you hadn't gotten the opportunity to get the word of God into her thinking, to help her get a hold of her thinking, her experience would have continued to go the same way.
Yeah.
That's what we see today. She would not have become. That's what we see in many lives today.
Yeah.
Part of the reason that the struggling in many lives are continuing is because they haven't gotten a hold of their attention and put their attention on the word of God. Yes. Many are praying, many are fasting, but that's not what's going to change the outcome if they don't put their attention on the word of God. Yes. Because for the blessing to flow like it's supposed to, it requires faith.
Yeah.
And faith is you putting your attention on what God said and refusing to take it away from it,
no matter what. That's one of the expressions of faith. Exactly.
Amen.
Yeah.
And no matter what you feel.
Yeah, exactly.
And so until that changes, nothing happens.
Exactly. The devil is bidding high for people's attention.
Yes, sir.
He will fight you in this area. I'm not saying you have to fight the devil. I mean, you have to control your thought life.
Right.
To fight the good fight of faith.
Yes,
sir. You have to control your thought life.
Yes, sir.
That's what happened to Peter walking on the water.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
He didn't fight the good fight of faith. He didn't hold his attention on come. He got his attention. He started out with his attention on come, but then he got his attention over on the wind and the waves.
Yes, yes, yes.
I want you to look at that again. I want to look at something about that.
Yes, sir.
Because it says there in the 14th chapter of Matthew's where we are. I just turned there because of something you said, Pastor Ike.
Yes, sir.
I want you to notice it says that when we talked about this yesterday, so you know the story here. When he's verse number 30, when he saw the wind boisterous,
yes,
he was afraid.
Yes.
And beginning to sink. See, he had seen that wind from before he got out of the boat.
That's right.
That wind had been blowing, the waves had been chopping, and he was seeing all of that. That's when it says he saw the wind boisterous. That doesn't mean he just woke up out of a nap and that's the first time he saw it. He was wide awake. He had seen
it. That's right.
But see, his attention, when he came down out of that boat and stepped on that water because Jesus had said, come, his attention wasn't on that. His attention was on Jesus. His attention was on come.
Right.
And then he got out there and he got his attention on the wind and the waves. Why? Yes. Because notice it says he saw the wind boisterous.
Right.
I want you to see that word boisterous.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way circumstances come. That's the way the devil talks.
Yes.
Why? Because he's trying to grab your attention.
Yes.
He's trying to alarm you.
Yes.
You understand what I'm talking about? He talks loud. He talks. He likes to stir up alarming circumstances because he wants to get a person's attention.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And a person who's real boisterous, I remember growing up in elementary school, there was a bully in my class and he was real boisterous. He always talked real loud, you know. And the reason was he's trying to get your attention.
Yep. Yeah.
Isn't that right?
Yeah.
And so that's the way the devil talks. And that's the way circumstances talk, because they're trying to get your attention.
Right.
Now, walking by faith doesn't mean you don't hear the voice of the enemy.
Amen.
The Bible says, Psalm 23:5, he prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies.
Hallelujah.
I mean, right there while right you're there. Walking by faith, the enemies are going, yak, kitty, yak, yak. You can't do that except I am.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. But I'm just not hooked up to that. I'm not connected to what he's saying. I'm connected to the power of God, because my attention's on the power on what God said. And my attention keeps saying what I keep saying what my attention's on. And I don't listen to that voice telling me I can't.
Yeah.
That table, everything that belongs to us, like you were talking about, it's spread right there.
It's spread there. Amen. Hallelujah.
And he said, it's prepared. God has prepared a table before us in the presence of our enemy. In other words, there's an enemy behind us going, hey, 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 look over here. Look over here. Hey, hey. But God said, put your attention on that table.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's interesting, Dad. Could it be that one of the reasons that people struggle with their attention is because they haven't learned the life in the spirit? Living life in the spirit. Because so many people assume that everything you see is it. But the Bible tells us that there's more that we don't see, because what we see come out of things that are not.
Exactly. Well, what did 2 Corinthians 4:18 say? We look not at things
we
seen.
We look not at things that are seen.
But we look at what is not seen.
Seen.
There's more than what we see.
That's right. And people
and that's
who
called
don't
the
understand
spirit realm,
that.
By the way.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And that's the realm that we are to function from. That's the realm that we are to be mindful of. That's the realm that we are to put our attention on. And void of that, we just observe everything else and operate as if this is it.
Exactly.
I'm reminded of the story of Elisha. Remember when the army of three nations came to arrest him? They were in the mountain with his servant surrounded. And the servant came out, Gehazi came out, and look, they were surrounded by the enemy's army. And Gehazi started panicking. He said, "Master, master, we're surrounded." And Elisha said to him, "They that are with us are more."
Yes.
Gehazi was being troubled by attending to what he's able to see. But the moment Elisha was able to get him to switch his attention, to get him to recognize that that what you see is not all there is.
Yes.
There's more. Hallelujah.
Glory.
We just keep on that, Dad.
Oh, my. I mean, let's ask ourselves, what's on that table?
Yes, sir. Come on.
I mean, the Bible said healing is the children's bread.
That's right.
So there's healing bread on that table.
Yes, sir.
There's peace on that table.
Yes, sir.
There's joy unspeakable on that table.
Yes, sir.
There's supply for every need on that table.
Absolutely.
Remember how Philippians 4:19 said, "My God shall supply all your need according to your paycheck."
No, sir.
Huh?
No,
oh,
sir.
Did I quote something wrong?
Yes, sir.
"My God shall supply all your need according to what? His riches
in
glory.
Glory."
There's some things in the unseen realm that we need to tap into to make use of and
Amen.
Turn our attention to
Amen.
In order to take to receive our needs met.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
So you're right. The unseen realm is what we're now to put our attention on. Now, think about this.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, go to this verse. Go to Hebrews chapter number. Let's see here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 11. But think in your mind while we're turning to Hebrews chapter number 11. Mm-hmm. Think in your mind about Proverbs chapter number 4.
Yes, sir.
Proverbs 4, "My son, attend to my words."
Mm-hmm.
"Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings."
Mm-hmm.
"Let them not depart from thine eyes."
Mm-hmm.
"Keep them in the midst of your heart."
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
"My son," listen, "attend to my words. Keep them in the midst of your heart. For their life to those that find them."
Yes, sir.
Now, in the King James, that's not real clear. The Hebrew says, for find their life to those that find them. The Hebrew says, lay hold.
Lay hold. Hallelujah.
Lay hold.
Hallelujah.
Their life to those that lay hold of
it. Lay hold of it.
Now, here's something the Lord said to me one time, Pastor Ike.
Yes, sir.
Because he said, my son, attend. He started out by saying, attend.
Yeah.
And then he said, lay hold.
Lay hold, yeah.
He said, the more attentively you look at something, the more your heart can lay hold of it.
Hallelujah. That's it. That's it.
Now, look at what? Look at the unseen.
Unseen.
There are things that are reality are not seen.
Come on.
Somebody said, it's not real. Oh, yes, it is. It's more real than this realm.
That's right.
Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of what?
Things not seen. Yes, sir.
The Amplified says, the conviction of their reality.
Reality. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Faith perceives as real fact what is not amplified now is not revealed to the senses.
Yes, sir.
It's real. It's fact. Real. It's reality.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
There
Amen.
Are angels.
Yes,
there
sir.
Is power to get wealth.
Yes, sir.
There is peace. The past. There's so much available to us in the realm.
Hallelujah.
Of
Amen.
And
Amen.
We've got to lay hold of those things. That's what the good fight of faith is all about. My son, 1 Timothy 6:12. My son, he said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold.
Lay hold.
Lay hold. Lay hold.
Hallelujah.
Lay hold.
Lay hold.
Not enough just to say, it's not enough to run up to him and gum him like a dog with no teeth and then run off and let it drop. You got to get a hold of what God says.
Yes, yes, yes.
Get a hold of what's in the unseen realm. Lay hold of it. Say, I claim it. I receive it.
Yes. Yes.
But here's what it says very plainly in Proverbs 4:22. He said, their life to those that find them, lay hold of them. The more attentively you look at it, the better your heart can embrace it. And the more you attend to it, the more of a reality things that are not seen become.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
They are reality, but they don't seem reality. Very real to people who are not paying attention to them.
Yes, 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 yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
So we've got to learn to do that. How do you pay attention to things that are not seen? This book is it tells you everything that's in the unseen realm.
Amen.
And by attending to this, you're attending to
Hallelujah.
The unseen.
Hallelujah.
This book is a roadmap of what's in the spirit.
Hallelujah.
It shows you everything that's in the spirit realm. It
Amen.
Tells you all about the power of God. It tells
that's
you
right.
about the angels. It tells you about all the things we're talking about.
Amen. Amen.
He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly place. That
Hallelujah.
Means in a realm that you can't see. And notice
Praise
he didn't
God.
Say, where thou canst not touch it till thou diest.
No, he didn't say that.
No, we're already blessed. He has
Hallelujah.
Blessed us.
Praise God. Amen.
But there, so many of these things are unseen. You got me going, Pastor, right?
Praise God. I'm telling you.
I'm going to blame you. This service is so good because of your fault.
You trained me that way, so we'll take
Amen.
It.
Go ahead. You're going to say something.
So you're saying that by us looking at the word, we will become one with that realm that we don't see. We will become one with the supply. We will become one with everything that Jesus said that word is.
Yeah.
It reminds me of the Israelites in the wilderness. Remember when they were beaten by snakes? They were beaten by snakes, and God told Moses to make a serpent on the pole, which was Jesus, you know. And the circumstance was very rough. I mean, they were dying.
Right.
And God said to them, the cure to all that mess, all that horrible situation was to look at that serpent on the pole, which represented Jesus, the Messiah coming, which represented healing.
Yeah. Well, John 3, Jesus quoted it.
Yes, sir.
He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent on the pole.
Yes, sir.
So shall the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Amen. Amen.
Now, so when they were in the Old Testament, when they were looking at that serpent on the pole,
yes, sir.
Jesus said they were believing on him that was going to be lifted up.
That's it.
So,
yes, sir.
And you see the connection between when you believe, that means your attention is on.
Amen.
What you're believing. Now, when it says serpent on the pole, that's a type of Jesus taking our curse. Why would that represent Jesus if it's a serpent? Because the serpent represents the curse.
That's right.
And Jesus was made a curse for us.
That's right.
Galatians 3:13.
Amen.
So look at Jesus on the pole taking your curse.
Hallelujah.
Keep your attention. Praise. Now, the Amplified there for Numbers 21:9, I believe is what you're quoting, if I got the verse right. The Amplified says, it doesn't just say look on the pole. It says with a steadfast, absorbing gaze.
Hallelujah.
Expectant, a steadfast, expectant, and absorbing gaze.
Hallelujah.
A gaze is not a glance.
No, sir. No, sir.
See, people come to church on Sunday, and if any word is preached, they only glance at it. And then they go and they forget it.
Right.
That's not how you walk by faith. Walk by faith means you absorb and you have a gaze. Your attention is gazed and focused on what God said. You're looking at Jesus taking your curse, and you're saying, he took it from me, therefore it's not mine. I will not have it. I'm redeemed. That's what Jesus taking our curse did for us. He redeemed us.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Well, but the circumstances don't say that sometimes, Pastor.
No, sir.
They say, no, it's not so. It's not so. But just like Abraham, you got to keep looking at what God said. Just keep looking at what God said.
You got to keep looking.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Glory to God.
Amen.
I'm telling you.
That's an expression of faith. That's an expression of faith.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's also the 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, as in the glass,
beholding
the glory of the Lord are changed into the same.
Yes. Become.
Hallelujah.
Change means you're becoming exactly what you're looking at.
Yes.
I tell people in our church sometimes, I said, if your daughter dresses like the latest Hollywood pop star, it's because that's who they're looking at.
That's it. Amen.
Then you start becoming what you look at.
That's right.
Your life starts going the direction you're looking at. Whatever you're looking at, that's the way you start looking, and that's the way your life starts going.
Amen.
But if you start looking at the word, your life will start looking like what the word says.
Absolutely. Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory to God.
I had a vision in healing school, Pastor Ike, years ago.
Yes, sir.
I was getting ready to preach a healing school service, and I kind of was in a side room there, and I had a vision. All of a sudden, I saw the people that were in the auditorium that day, actually. I saw, and I don't remember how many people were there, but I would say about a third of them, if I remember right, were holding on. They had their arms around their sickness and their disease, and they were embracing it and holding on to it. Now, while I'm talking, go to Hebrews 11:13. Those of you that are out there in the watch center and watching online and so forth, because I want to read this verse as soon as I get done telling you about this vision. So I saw that in the spirit, and I thought, wait a minute. These are people that came to healing school to be healed. Why on earth? Obviously, if they're coming to healing school to be healed, they're not trying to hold on to their sickness. But in the vision, I saw some of them holding on to their sickness. I said, Lord, that doesn't make any sense to me. Why are you showing me? Why are they holding on to their sickness? And he said something from a verse. I heard the Spirit say this when I had that vision. I heard the Spirit say this. He said, what they are thinking on, they are embracing.
Ooh, come on.
They're thinking on, they are embracing. What they're thinking on, they are. In other words, they got their minds on all the symptoms, all that the doctor's report says.
Yes.
Amen. And that's where their attention is. They're thinking about it.
That's
and what they're thinking on, they are embracing.
Yes.
So, and he gave me this verse, Hebrews here, 11. Notice what it says in verse 13, talking about saints of old, the Old Testament patriarchs. They all died in faith, not having received the promises, because really he's talking about Jesus coming, and Jesus hadn't come yet. But having seen them, seeing them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them.
Hallelujah.
And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So notice what they did with the promises of God. They embraced them.
Embraced them, right.
Well, how do you do that? You do that with your attention, and you do that by your faith.
Amen.
You grab a hold of, you lay hold of them.
Yes.
But see, you can do that in reverse and make that very same principle work against you by embracing what the devil's saying, embracing what the doctor's report said, embracing what the blabbermouth down the street said, embracing what the news report said.
Right. Yes, sir.
And you're vexed and you're tormented and your faith ain't working.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're holding on to other things other than the word of God.
Yes, yes,
but,
yes.
But that's not what Proverbs 4 said. He said, son, attend.
Attend.
And then their life to those that lay hold of them. So you can lay hold of things by attending to them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Isn't that good? Doesn't that help you?
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Sure does.
Yeah.
Amen.
The more attentively you get a hold of that statement, I want everybody that's out there to write this down. The more attentively you look at something, the more your heart can embrace it.
Amen.
In other words, your heart is able to lay hold of something as your mind attends to it, and it comes into better view. It's in an unseen realm. The healing that belongs to a person is in the unseen realm, but they can lay hold there. That can become clearer by attending. As you attend to it, the reality jumps off the pages and it becomes very real. It was invisible, but now it's very real.
Hallelujah.
And now your heart can say, I take that.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Now, think of this, Pastor Ike.
Yes, sir.
The Lord said this to me one time. He said, my word is my delivery system.
That's right. Hallelujah.
In other words, that's, you can receive something from the word if that's your attention is on it.
That's right. That's right.
We have, Nigerians might be able to understand this. Your football is different than our football.
Right.
But if you've ever seen any of the U.S. football games, you know, they in what we call, what you call football is what we call soccer, and that's using your feet and you don't use your hands. But we throw in our football game, you know, it can be kicked, but it can also be thrown, you know.
Right.
We pass the ball to a receiver. Mm-hmm. And that receiver has to run a pattern and then turn around and receive the ball.
Right.
And he can't do that because there's defenders out there that are trying to get to him and distract him and try to keep the ball from getting into his hands, so forth and so on. But he's got to, and some of them guys are about ready to hit him square. I mean, hit him hard. But if he's actually going to make that reception, he can't be attending to the guys out there trying to take him out. He has to just run his pattern and keep his attention on that ball.
Ooh, come on.
Because he's running away from where he's running towards the goal, but the ball's coming from behind. So he's got to turn around. He's got to receive that ball.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't receive it if your attention is on other things.
That's it.
You can't receive it while you're looking at these guys. No, you got to look at where the ball's coming.
Amen.
And that's the way receiving from God is.
Amen.
You can't receive from God's word. God's word is his delivery system. The word of God is the quarterback.
Yes.
The word of God is what throws the ball to you.
Amen.
But you can't receive from God unless your attention is on that word. Just like that receiver can't receive the ball unless his attention is on that ball.
That's right. That's right.
He sent his word and healed them.
Hallelujah.
See, that's the delivery system. The word heals.
Yes.
That's the delivery system.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I'm going to do it. Hallelujah. I'm going to preach myself happy.
Hallelujah. Amen. That's similar to the same thing the Lord spoke to me in Nigeria. Because, you know, you give out the word, you teach the word. And the Lord spoke to me one day. He said that the people are having difficulty receiving because many of them have been conditioned by hardship.
Yeah.
Because that's all they've beheld over the years. That's all they've attended to. So it's conditioned them to the point that when the word comes, instead of allowing the word to break that pattern, to break that hold off of those things, they start questioning the word.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's been this way. I've been going through this for 20 years. My life has been this way for 20 years. It's been bad. It's been bad. It's been bad. And the Lord said to me, they've conditioned themselves through those hardships because of where they've held their attention. And as a result, they're not in a position to receive that word that is coming to deliver them, that is coming to pull them out. So I asked him, so what do you do? He said, just keep reminding them. If they will start attending to the word, the word will cut off all those things away from them and will bring them into what yes. he has available. Yes. But right. they have to make a choice to just go with the word. I know it's been going for so long. There's nothing too hard for God. Nothing. There's no condition that the word is not able to uproot. And that's the problem with some of our people. They want you to put a bandage on the cancer. They want you to just cover the stuff up. Yeah. Just give me something right now. The word never covers darkness. The word is light.
Yes.
And when it comes, yes. it comes to uproot every darkness. It's yes. not going to leave you with traces of darkness here, traces of darkness there. So right. if you're not willing to let go of darkness, you would have trouble receiving.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like it says about Abraham, he considered not.
He considered not.
We've got to turn. I think about Hebrews chapter number. We're familiar with Hebrews chapter number 12. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, let us run with patience. The race is looking for us. Looking unto Jesus.
Looking unto Jesus. Hallelujah.
Looking unto Jesus.
Hallelujah.
The Amplified says, looking away from
all that will distract.
Distract. Praise all God. You've gone through in all those years of hardship are a distraction.
That's right.
From the word of God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
They're trying to lock your mind up in what you've experienced and make you think that's the only thing. I love something. I mentioned him yesterday, but, you know, never met him, but Bishop Oyedepo made a statement. He made this statement. He said, I guess I've had tests and trials. I just haven't noticed.
Right. That's it.
What is that? Yeah. That's a man that is considering not.
Amen.
No wonder God's using him the way he's using. No wonder yes. yeah. he's walking where he's walking with God.
Yes, sir.
Because Amen. His attention is completely on what God said, not on all this out here.
Yes, yes, yes. Amen.
And you can do that.
Absolutely.
If you can't do that, God's unjust to require us to do it.
All right. Yep.
Amen.
Amen.
I've gotten to the place in my life, it's just sin. To keep on looking at all the devil's saying, all the devil. So this person's doing that, and this person mm-hmm. said that, and this circumstance is telling me I can't. And I've gotten to the place, it's just sin in my life to always be saying what the devil's saying.
That's
always
right.
be going back and say, well, you know, but the devil. I remember Charles Capps said one time, he said, Lord, he was going to the Lord and telling the Lord some of the things the devil was saying. The devil said this, the devil said that. And God said, I wish you'd stop telling me everything the devil's saying.
Amen.
You know Amen. What I mean?
Yes, sir.
In other words, why don't you bring to me what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's
yes.
faith.
Amen.
That's faith.
Amen.
Faith just goes and tells God, says, thank you for what you said. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you. The word is true. Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Glory to God. Amen. So as a minister, then, it'll be a great help to the people to point them towards what Jesus has done for them.
Exactly.
Instead of elevating what the devil is doing.
Yeah.
Come for special prayer for deliverance from what the devil is doing. Come for that to be freed from what the devil is doing.
Yeah.
Because all that's doing is making the devil the focus of people's lives.
Exactly.
Instead of the blessing.
Exactly what he wants. He wants.
Yeah, and that's what he wants.
Yeah. If he can get your attention, he's got your whole life.
That's it.
If he can get your attention, you're his for the rest of, you're useless for the kingdom of God. And
that's
you're
it.
Very valuable to Satan's kingdom.
Yeah.
For the rest of your life.
Yeah.
I've unhooked from it. Not living
Amen. Me too. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let's talk a little bit more here about how many of the verses we go to when we talk about walking by faith and so forth. Mm-hmm. Many of those verses, if you look at them closely, they mention our attention.
Yes, sir.
Now, we don't believe God with our minds.
Right.
The Bible says in Romans 10, 9 and 10, with the heart, man believes.
Yes, sir.
Amen. We don't believe God with our minds. We believe God with our inward man, with our heart.
Yes.
Remember,
yes.
trust in the Lord with all your heart.
Heart.
And lean not unto your own understanding.
Yes, sir.
So we don't believe God with our mind, but the mind or the attention has a role before faith and during a walk of faith.
Hallelujah.
The role before faith is to meditate in the Word of God day and night.
Yes, sir.
And get that seed planted in our hearts.
Yes, sir.
Because the doorway to the heart is the mind.
That's right.
That's why he said, listen very closely to Proverbs 4. You can't get away from Proverbs 4 on all this.
No, sir.
My son, attend.
Attend.
First thing he said was, where's your attention going?
Hey,
my son, attend, where? To my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings, let not depart from thine eyes. See, where are your eyes? You can try to pay attention to something, but your eyes are over here and your ears are listening to something else. You can't pay attention to something with your eyes and ears on something else.
That's right.
So my son, attend to my words.
Mm-hmm.
See, it's not enough just to drive down the street listening to the word of God. That's good. I don't mean don't do that. But
right.
But there needs to be time where your whole being is absorbed in it.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Attend to my words. Incline thine ears unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Then notice what he said. Keep them in the midst of your heart.
Praise God.
How did they get in your heart?
By attending.
By attending, looking, and listening.
Hallelujah.
Faith comes by hearing. Amen.
Yes.
But the doorway is your attention.
Yes.
So faith has your attention has a role before faith. And then during faith, what I mean during faith, once you've gotten to the place you believe what God said, you receive what God said, and now you're saying what God said rather than what your circumstances are saying, what the devil is saying and all that.
Yes, sir.
You're standing in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Your attention still has a role to help you. And the role now is to protect that faith.
Yes, sir.
It protects it by not letting anything else into the heart through the mind gate.
Amen.
The attention gate.
Yes, sir.
Does that make sense?
Yes,
so,
sir.
When you're in faith, you can guard your faith.
Yes.
By guarding your mind.
Amen.
Let's put it this way. You can guard your heart. Because remember Proverbs 3? Our Proverbs 4 says, tend and so forth, let them not depart from mine. Keep them in the midst of your heart. And then he said, for out of the heart are the issues of life. He said, guard your heart, for out of it are the issues of life. How do you guard your heart? You guard the doors. If I'm going to guard this building, we're in a building here. If I'm going to guard this building, I'm going to guard the doors.
That's right.
To guard your heart, you have to guard the doors to your heart. And he already told you in the first three verses what the doors, Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, 23, what the doors of the heart are.
Yes.
Are your attention, your eyes, and your ears.
Amen.
So, When we talk about these verses about faith, you just gave one of them. We talk about believing on Jesus. He's hanging on the pole.
Right.
And that verse is brought out of the serpent on the pole, and it's referring to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
On the cross. Jesus himself said to him, John chapter number 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so the Son of Man will be lifted up. Whosoever believeth, when they look with a steadfast and absorbing gaze, that's part of believing God.
Amen.
That's part of believing. You won't see, while they're looking on the serpent on the pole, there's snakes crawling into their baby's crib.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Come on.
No. No.
Look
with an absorbing gaze. God's getting through to somebody right now. It's finally starting to set in on somebody's heart and mind right out there.
Amen.
Just look. Just keep looking.
Just look.
Just keep looking. Don't consider.
Amen.
Just keep looking.
Just keep looking.
Amen.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
So that's a faith verse, but it involves the attention. We looked at Romans chapter number 4, talking about Abraham's faith.
Right.
He was strong in faith, giving glory to God, but part of that was considering not.
Yes.
That's his attention.
Amen.
Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Let's think of some other verses. I'm just going through some verses that if you look at them very closely in the New Testament, they involve the attention. We just looked at Matthew 6.
Right.
He said, take no thought, and don't be of little faith. So in the middle of talking about faith, he said he kept talking about the attention.
Yes.
Isn't that interesting?
That's very interesting. Yes,
what we see then is an expression of our faith to hold our attention on what God said.
Yes.
What we're believing.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And listen, the reason that's a battle, sometimes, Pastor Ike, I don't mean a battle against the devil.
Mm-hmm.
I mean it's a discipline that we have to control our attention and keep it on the Word of God. The reason we have to do that is because there are things screaming at our attention, trying to tell us the Word of God's not so.
Amen.
Trying to tell us it's not going to come to pass.
Yeah.
All the heroes of faith in Hebrews 11, all of them, you see that every single one of them had something to get their attention off of.
Yes, yes, yes.
Something that was trying to get their attention.
Yes, sir.
And in order for them to have what God said, they had to consider something, consider not.
Amen.
Think about Abraham. He had to not consider his body.
That's right.
And Sarah's body. Daniel was in faith. Mm-hmm. He said, God will deliver me out of the mouths of the lions. But how many of you know he had to consider not the lions?
That's right. That's right.
Oh, man, that'd be a temptation. It's just attention was what on God said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Yes.
They had to consider not the flames. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
The burning fiery furnace.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is freedom. No longer can the enemy put up, you know, here in the United States, I don't know if they do it over there. They put a ring in a bull's nose, mm-hmm. and they can lead him around, put a rope in that ring, and they can lead him around. The devil's got a ring in people's mind, and he just screams over here, and is boisterous over here, and puts up big, loud circumstances over here, and he's just leading them around. I refuse to have a hook in my nose and follow the devil around.
No, sir.
I don't move.
No, sir.
Unless God has talked to me.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. So, go ahead.
No, I was going to say that people need to realize that because in the culture, in the way so many people operate, they assume if you're not running around trying to get something done, you are not doing something.
God hasn't called us to be frantic.
God has not called us to be frantic. No. It's not our running around acting like we're victims that makes us receive from God. In fact, it keeps us from receiving from God. So for many people, realizing that you can be just calm, settled, even in the midst of horrible circumstances, you are in faith and you will receive.
And
just
in
calm
peace.
Yourself down. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
There's a difference between activity and fruit.
Yes, sir. Yes,
you
sir.
Can be active but bearing no fruit.
Bearing no fruit. Yes, sir.
But you're all frantic. It's all frantic activity.
Yeah.
And you look, you're impressing other people.
Come
not
on.
God.
Not God. Amen.
He's not impressed with that frantic.
No, sir. Activity. Not at all. Amen.
He's more impressed. Be still and know that I am God.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen. Oh, glory be to God.
Praise
let the
God.
See, you don't have to fight the battle. You let the word go fight the battle.
Let the word do it. Amen.
Remember, he said in the Old Testament to the people of God, stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Woo!
Praise
that doesn't,
God.
That doesn't sound like run around frantic with like a chicken with his head cut off and act like you don't know what you're doing.
Right.
No, he said, just stand still and let that word fight that battle.
Amen. We don't have to respond to every feeling.
No.
We don't have to run after every smoke.
Every
we
thought.
We can just sit still on the word, knowing that the power in that word is able to bring us through. Hallelujah. Yeah.
Hallelujah.
That's faith.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen.
So, you know, it takes discipline.
Yes, sir.
Because there's always something trying to yakety yak yak.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to get our attention.
Yes, sir.
You know, I told about, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel. Mm-hmm. I mean, just think about, for example, Peter walking on the water.
Yes.
That was a loud, boisterous voice.
Amen.
The Bible says even about Jesus, mm-hmm. it says that he endured the shame.
Yes, yes, yes.
And despised the shame.
Yes, yes.
Because he endured because of the joy set before him. He was looking right past the cross
mm-hmm.
to the victory and
Hallelujah.
You and I being redeemed. He's looking
Hallelujah.
Right at us.
Praise
and all
God.
The pain, all the stripes and everything.
Praise
he the Bible said he endured all that for the joy that was set before him. His attention was what was set before him.
Amen.
Ooh, glory.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
That's good.
That's good voice.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen.
And so there's always something, always a voice, always circumstances.
Yes, sir.
God has something better for us than to live, you know, just running from each one fire to another, just putting out fires.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God.
Praise God.
So, amen. You got anything else, Pastor Ike? I pretty much got out what I was going to share this morning.
I was going to say, too, that with people, you can go in and out of, you know, you can have your attention on the word today and tomorrow on something else and expect your faith to work.
Yeah.
It's not like, okay, I attend a little bit, because people have a way of making everything religious. Okay, I did this and I check it. I did this, I check it.
The box, right.
This is talking about us holding firm until somebody asks, you know, how long do I have to do this? How do I know that I've attended to the word long enough? Until it changes how you see yourself.
Yes, amen.
Until it changes your view of you. Because once it changes the view of you, the enemy has no grasp anymore.
Yes.
Over
that's
you.
Right. That's
so,
right.
So you just continue. You continue until how you see yourself changes, until you no longer see yourself as a victim, until you no longer see yourself as limited, until you no longer see yourself as, I don't have.
Yeah.
You begin to see yourself. I am my Father's child. I am an heir of God.
Yes.
Whatever God has belongs to me. Why? Because your attention has been set on it. And the Spirit of God, as you attended, will build the image of that same word you attended until it gets so big inside of you that you explode in victory. Hallelujah.
Yes, hallelujah. Your faith is enjoying it on the inside before it ever sees it on the outside.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Because you're just absorbed in the realities of the unseen.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Glory to God.
So this is the life God has for us.
Amen.
You know, somebody said, you were saying, how long do I need to do this? The rest of your life.
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 Yeah.
We get to do it.
You get to enjoy
Hallelujah.
Unseen realities of God's word for the
Amen.
Rest of your life.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise God.
Praise Amen.
God. Amen.
So I want to encourage people that you can do this.
Yes.
When God first started dealing with me as a teenager of what I had done, opened my mind and so forth to the enemy, it seemed like an impossible task to get a hold of my attention.
Yes, sir.
But the Lord said to me, I wouldn't ask you to do something you couldn't do.
Right, right.
So I knew the greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do this.
Amen.
Thank God I did.
Hallelujah.
Amen. It's worth every effort you put into it.
Yes, sir.
To learn to practice keeping your attention. You know, people said in church, and if the word is being preached, Their attention is on other people and, you know, counting the lights and other things. You got to develop that discipline.
Amen.
Develop the discipline of attending to what God said.
Yeah, yeah.
You remember Abraham, God's trying to get an image. You talk about that image. He's trying to get an image on the inside of him of his seed and how numerous they would be. He said, go out and look at the stars.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Try to count them, Abraham.
He lost
track. Count up to 125, lost track. I don't know. But anyway, God, and while he was looking at the stars,
come on,
God spoke to him.
Praise God.
So shall thy seed be.
Mm.
Here's what I want you to hear. When you're attending, that's when he speaks.
Hallelujah.
That's when he speaks.
Hallelujah.
When God doesn't talk to me, well, turn your attention to him.
Turn
and
your
keep
attention.
Absorbing yourself in it. Yes. All of a sudden, he'll go, that's you. And you go, whoa.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
You see
what
he said.
Amen.
You see it.
Yes.
You see yourself in the image of God.
Amen.
Like you said there, was that 1 Corinthians 3:18?
Beholding
as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Beholding are changed.
Yeah.
Not
Amen.
By attention on something else changed. No, beholding.
Yeah.
In other words, the first things that change are the inner image.
Yes, sir.
How you
Amen.
See yourself.
Amen.
These outward things, they'll change as a result
they'll
of the
change.
Inward change.
That's right. That's right.
Faith
That's
has
right.
experience of it on the inside first.
Amen.
Glory Hallelujah. Be to God.
The Lord said to me one time, you cannot become what you haven't taken time to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when you see it by gazing into the word, beholding the word until that word transmits into you.
There's an
you
image
pictures.
In here.
Yes, yes, yes.
This Bible, especially the epistles of the New Testament, these are God's family photo album.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
And you look in there, you know, somebody takes a picture of your family. You're all standing there and they take your picture.
Yeah.
You get the picture. Who's the first person you look for?
Myself.
Yeah. Look for yourself. How do I look? You know?
Yeah.
That's the way you're supposed to look at God's family photo album.
Amen.
You look in here. Oh, that's me. Ooh,
that's me.
Yeah, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world.
That's me.
I'm blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Ooh, that's me.
That's me. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. By his stripes, I'm healed. I see myself. There's a picture of me right there.
That's me. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
But you remember James said, James is talking about that same mirror. He said, be doers of the word, not hearers only. Man that hears the word and goes away and doesn't do it. He's like a man beholding himself in the mirror.
Yep. Amen.
He'd behold himself.
That's right.
And he goes his way and forgets what manner of man he was.
Yeah.
But whoever looks and doesn't forget.
Yes.
That man will be blessed.
Praise God.
In other words, he looks until he sees who he really is.
That's
and
right.
And he doesn't forget that.
That's right.
And he holds that image, doesn't let that image get away from him. If these things are not important, Pastor Ike, if the image you have of yourself, well, how you see yourself, because you can see yourself in your own the image of your own imagination, or you can see yourself as God sees you.
Right.
The word of God is how God sees us.
That's right.
If how you see yourself is not important, why does the devil fight so hard in this area?
Come on.
He tries over and over again to get you to see yourself in a different image than the way God sees you.
That's it.
It's a daily, almost moment by moment thing.
Yes.
He's
trying
to keep your attention off of how God sees you.
That's it. Yep.
So it's a big deal.
Yep.
It's a big deal to faith.
That's right. It is. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah.
How you see yourself is the blueprint of faith.
Hallelujah. Yes, sir.
It's what faith takes and recreates in that image.
Glory
how you
to
see
God.
Yourself.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to
Hallelujah.
God. I'm telling you.
So,
awesome.
So it's important.
Yes, sir. Praise
People
God.
People think they have faith struggles, but really they have attention issues.
Attention problems.
They're not paying attention to what God said. And pay attention to it until you see it.
Yes, amen.
There's a something they do here sometimes. There's a thing in, I don't know, it's like a game, I guess, or however you want to say it. It's called a hologram. Mm-hmm. And somebody, through ink and drawing on a page, they put I've seen it, like a picture of Jesus or something. Mm-hmm. But then they put a lot of other dots around that picture after they've drawn. They draw it with dots. Draw the picture with dots. And then all around that, they put a whole lot more dots. And if you just glance at the page, you don't see the picture of Jesus, the drawing of Jesus on that page. But what they tell you to do is they tell you to hold it there and just sort of stare through it.
Yeah.
You just stare at it. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, you'll see it.
Yes.
Like, wow, I see the picture made out of dots. I see Jesus' face.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the way the Word of God is. Your picture is in there.
That's right.
This is God's family photo album.
That's right.
He says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. You're blessed with all these spiritual blessings. That's you. That's you.
Amen. That's
you. His picture
that's
of you.
Me.
That's how
Hallelujah.
He sees you.
Amen.
But you got to keep looking at it like that hologram before. Whoa, there's me.
That's me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory
you
to
in
God.
Christ, not you
that's
in the
right.
flesh, but you
that's
in Christ.
Right.
He's made us, the Bible says, that Jesus was made sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. People don't see themselves as the righteousness of God. They see themselves, oh, I know myself. I got so many faults. I'm so unworthy. God couldn't bless me, so forth. Well, no, wait a minute. You're not looking at God's picture of you.
Right.
You're not looking at how he sees you.
That's it.
And if you have, it's only been a glance, and you glanced
That's
away,
right.
and you forgot it, and you didn't. You can't see that hologram picture with just a glance. You got to keep looking. You keep looking. Finally, it'll jump off the page at you.
Amen. Amen.
Glory.
Hallelujah.
That's why I'm different. I walk different. I talk different. I lean in my car different. I'm different. It changed. The word got inside of me and changed me from the inside out. I used to, Pastor Ike, if somebody didn't like me, I felt bad. I thought, whoa, I don't know why they don't like me. I guess I'm not a very likable guy. And I felt bad for myself. Now, if people don't like me, I feel bad for them.
For them. That's right.
Because I'm a blessing.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, he's so proud. Amen. I'm talking about in Christ.
In Christ.
Glory.
In Christ. Amen. And this will apply to anybody, anywhere. It doesn't matter whether you're in Nigeria or you're in Burkina Faso or you're in the United States. The word knows no boundaries, and God is not a respecter of persons.
That's right.
You can become what the word said that you are if you will set your attention to it.
That's right.
Hallelujah. That's right. Praise God.
Thank you for being a part of this broadcast, Pastor Ike.
Wow.
We enjoy
it's an honor,
the fellowship. We get together, those of you watching, we get together, he and I and his precious family, Pastor Geraldine, I think she's watching, and his children. We just love feasting on the Word of God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And it's a great joy to be connected with you and your family and what God's doing. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise God,
and,
Dad.
We're gonna see Nigeria, the word of God get out in Nigeria.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Your assignment is multiple different things God has you doing there, pastoring a church.
Yes, sir.
Taking this message to Nigeria, ministering to ministers. My main assignment is just to be a spiritual father to you and other ministers as God puts it on people's hearts. And we want to continue. Those of you that are watching, we want to continue to feed you and bring you these truths and speak into your life.
Amen.
So, thank you for being a part of this. And we look forward to sowing the seed of God's word more and more into your lives.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Dad, we're so grateful. Thank you for taking the time to feed us that word and to nurture us. And we give you one promise. We'll be doers of the word.
Amen.
We'll be doers of the word. Amen.
Praise
We're
God.
So very grateful. I know we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for your obedience to the things of God to impart into us the word, the truth, and we're going to keep on walking in it. Amen.
Amen.